pixels in the animation has now left the Mushroom Kingdom, Paizans, to enter the realm of Hyrule in episodes 16 through 20 of PETA. Join TV's Mr. Neil and TFG1 Mike as they are going through the classic, and I'm actually have my fingers in the air and making air quotes when we say classic, Legend of Zelda the Animated Series. This time around, a special guest joins the guys for the Zelda reviews. It's the famed Ender from Radio Free Cybertron and the Pullback. So tune in and help us find the pixels in the animation, which you can find on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com. Excuse us, listeners.
This week on Old Man Gamer, we have some video game releases for the week. We've got some off-the-cuff seventh gen gaming stuff to talk about. We have, you know what? Just screw it. I am your host, as always, Michael Powers. This is Off the Cuff, episode 33. I am joined this week by Art Danner.
I take offense to the Old Man Gamer thing. I mean, seriously?
I just feel like we're all just beat up right now, or at least you and I are.
We have too much going on in our lives.
And we have Joe Reed.
Hello.
Who may or may not be distracted by his 3DS.
No. Record. I've turned that off out of politeness and decency.
Decency. We're gamers. There's no decency.
Joe lives by a code of conduct. Most of us can only hope to live up to a half of it.
Sean Z is not here. Danner has banned him from the podcast.
He's a piece of shit and I just can't stand him anymore.
And just in case I got it wrong, this is Off the Cuff 33. I think I feel like I said 32, but this is 33. We've also got listener feedback and stuff like that. In my defense, and just so everyone can hear it in our voices and whatnot this episode, I've been working 70 hours the last 2 weeks, and I'm not used to that. I'm slowly getting used to it. It's not beating me up too bad. But if I sound down or slow or anything like that, that's why. Danner's been
slow.
Danner's been really busy too.
Yeah, I haven't been busy. I've just been forgetful. But busiest thing I've got going on is Halloween costumes.
So how's that? How are the Halloween costumes going?
They're coming together. I'll probably have them done Saturday.
Nice. So let's see. I didn't have time to play any games this week.
I've played more games this week than I've played in months.
Good. Share. We will talk.
Oh, crap. That was an opening. I finally recommitted myself to Last of Us.
How's that going?
I've put about 5 hours into it. I've discovered the bloaters. And fuck those guys. I mean, screw those guys. They are a pain in the ass, to put it nicely. But then, to be quite honest, I don't really mind the bloaters now that I've come across raiders. And humans in that game suck far more than any of the infected do.
I completely agree, because
it is so much creepier. and more nerve-wracking dealing with real people than it is dealing with monsters in that game. And I think it's beautifully captured. Because the fact that monsters are... I welcome the monsters more than I welcome fighting the humans in that game.
I felt the exact same way playing that game. I'm curious. Have you been to the hotel yet?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm currently... Did I just get out of the hotel? Or am I... I'm trying to remember where I stopped. I just got out of the basement.
Oh my god, I hated that.
Yeah, that part was rough. We're climbing back up the hotel. We may have just gotten out of it. Yeah, we did just get out of it because I'm at the part where she's sniping for me and I'm about to go through. So I'm at the point exactly when you get out of the hotel.
Okay. Yeah, I hated the basement of the hotel just because the atmosphere really kicked up. I know there's a spot where you have to swim.
Yep.
And I was just like, okay, where do I have to go? I'm only going to look at where I have to go. I'm not going to take the time to look around for anything else. I'm just going to, I'm going to put on my blinders and I'm just going to swim until I get out of here. I don't want to see anything. And it was just so, so creepy. I was actually proud of myself for getting through that. But all that said, though, that was one of my favorite parts. Because of the atmosphere and the way that it made me feel, and the winter, when you get to winter in the game, that was my favorite chapter or segment of the game was winter. But yeah, how are you liking the way? Like I encountered the what you're going into is where I encountered one of the first problems I had. It's where I kind of started having issues with the stealth mechanic in the game.
Oh. I'm terrible at stealth in the game, so I've tried every single part of the game with stealth, and it really devolves into, what's the best way to put it? Drunken finesse, I guess is the best way to put it, because I stumble and lose track of somebody, and they see me, and then it just turns into, guy pulls gun on me, I run straight at them and just start beating them with my fists because I can never seem to keep a melee weapon in this game. And it just turns into a brawl and a mad scramble. It is the most unattractive way to play a game ever because I have absolutely no strategy whatsoever. It's if it's not nailed down, throw it or beat somebody with it and then move on. It is I playing this game incredibly ugly. I'm enjoying it, but I'm really, really terrible at strategizing in this game, which I don't usually have this much of an issue. I don't have issues strategizing against, you know, like the bosses or the bigger infected in the game. But for some reason, when it comes to smaller clusters of people that you should easily be able to sneak around, terribly goes wrong every single time for me.
Well, part of the problem I noticed at that game is when you are sneaking around in the environment and you are trying to play stealth, it's and I say this because of the part you're coming up to. I snuck around. I was able to see there were like five or six guys in the area and I was like, okay, I'm going to go around. I'm going to stealth all these guys. And I did. I don't know if you actually kill people, like if you snap their necks or if you just suffocate them out, but I took out five of the six guys and I was going after the sixth guy and I had an angle on it and I was coming up. All of a sudden he disappeared and the game put him in another spot where he was staring at me. And then all of a sudden all the guys in the level respawned. And I was like, oh, what the hell? So then I started doing the mad dash, running around like a madman with my head cut off, trying to, you know, throw Molotov cocktails and stuff like that. But I really did enjoy that game. I'm glad you're finishing it because that's one of the games that's for sure on my game of the year list.
Yeah, it's and I'm almost kind of sad at the why it's taken me so long to get back to it. It was. For some reason, Deadpool completely got in my way, and then I just haven't had time. And then I was like, well, since I don't have time, one of the guys at work wanted to borrow it. So I let him borrow it. And then he was leaving for like 2 weeks on his honeymoon. And I was like, dude, you're giving this back to me before you leave, because I actually have time and I want to get it done before the PS4 comes out. So it's like, it's my main focus right now is that game. But unfortunately, much like my life is living with ADD, I game like I have ADD. So I'm playing, of course, like three or four things at once.
So what else are you playing?
The Rayman Legends went free on the PS Vita about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. And I already owned it on the PS3 and I had played a level or two of it and it was fun. But I heard how good it looked on the Vita version. So I downloaded it and been playing on the Vita version. I'm enjoying it so much more on the Vita that I think two or three levels away from the end of the game. And I've only been playing it for 3 days. The PS3 version I've actually owned for 6 months, and I've played two levels in it. So I find it much easier to pick up and play and use in the Vita version. And there's no touch controls. It's just a straight-up platform game. Just fun, good times. Makes me want to pick up the new one that just came out a couple weeks ago. Or a month ago, or whatever it was. I don't know. Time's all relative right now. So it's fun. I recommend it. It's pretty cheap anywhere you can pick it up, and especially if you got PlayStation Plus right now, it is nothing to pick up for the Vita. I also downloaded Okami HD this past week because it was on sale on the it was on last week's sale for the PlayStation Store. It was like $6 for PS Plus users. And I, unlike many other people, I know a lot of people have played Okami. I've never played Okami. It's always been one of those games that I've, you know, heard a lot of good things about. Or unless we're talking about Joe, I haven't heard anything positive out of him about it.
No.
I'm enjoying it. But there's some things about the game that bother me. Like when you run, the graphics get really blurry, and I don't know if that was a design choice or that was something missed in translation from the PlayStation 2 version to this version. So, I mean, when you put something out and say, oh, it's the HD version, I'm expecting it to be, I don't know, graphically updated and better quality.
Expecting it to look like Shadow of the Colossus HD.
Pretty much. And I just, there's some things graphically that bother me about it. The gameplay is fine. I like the game so far.
What kind of game is it?
It's pretty much, I think Twilight Princess, the stages where you're the wolf. Pretty much the whole game's like that. It does have a Zelda-esque feel to it. But it's got elements where you can paint in the world to change things, and add things to the world. So it's a 3D platformer. Okay. And it's fun. I mean, it's just wrapped in old style Japanese, storytelling, and it's got an interesting art style, and it's just, I mean, I think it's kind of niche. I don't think it appeals to everybody, but I can see why it's kind of a cult hit
of a thing. Now wait, Joe, you've played this or you don't like
it? Yes, I played it. Gosh, I want to say it was the Wii remake because the brush controls. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's the version I played on it. And within 5-10 minutes, the anime bent to the thing, the obnoxious parts about anime that drive me crazy, totally turned me off of even being able to give it a chance, because I was annoyed by that little cricket character that lives in the big-breasted spirit's chest cleavage and the annoying voice that it had and how...
Oh, that's the voice
story.
The voice, everything in that game is obnoxious.
Yeah, I can't stand that stuff. And
is it when we say obnoxious, is it obnoxious on the way that Gidget is in Dust?
No.
Similar, high-pitched and squeaky. And
I find her far less obnoxious than all the voiceover stuff that's going on in that game. Because everybody doesn't actually have voice work. It's like a Charlie Brown version of everybody's got a wah-wah voice. And then you just read text. And I guess that was the other thing that kind of annoyed me about the game is the 10-minute intro that is all animated movie, like Japanese-style scrolls with just walls of text. Just text for 10 minutes straight. And it was like, I was like, okay, we're getting the backstory. This is kind of interesting. And about 5 minutes into it, I was like, okay, this is a little long. And I just kept on going, okay, the game's going to start soon, right? It's like, did somebody take their intros from Kojima? Because holy fuck, this is starting to feel like a Metal Gear game.
When they said they were going to turn this book into a movie, I didn't think they meant literally.
Yeah. It's wait a second. It's just reading a book and it's animated.
I'd like to cite my source for that. That was a Mystery Science Theater 3000 joke that I just stole. Had to cite my source.
Nice. So it's the game's fun, but like I said, it's not. It's obviously a PS2 game that's been updated.
It's obviously a PS2 game that has been updated.
Obviously. I mean, it still has, it feels like a PS2 game. I know they have Move controls enabled for this game also. If you have Move, much like the Wii version, you can use the Move controls.
I've had the opportunity to buy some very cheap PlayStation Move controllers. Is there anything out there worth it?
Moving on.
Silence. and there we go. I also, did I touch on this the last, I don't remember the last time we talked about games. I tried Ico. I downloaded that
one. We have not talked about that.
Okay, that was free, and I downloaded Ico, and I know, Joe, you made a comment a while ago about how you love Shadow of the Colossus, but you haven't been able to bring yourself to play Ico.
Uh-huh. I played on PlayStation 2 back when I worked at GameStop and didn't get hooked, and I've played it. I've since been playing it a little bit when I was into the Shadow of the Colossus a couple months ago. I have a different opinion now, but you go first.
Okay, I was going to say, for some reason, that was the only opinion I've heard. It, like, it's a big cult hit and people like it, but I've never, nobody's actually come out and told me why they like it. But, and then you made a comment about like, it's not as good as Shadow of the Colossus. And so I was like, well, fine. I'm not going to play Shadow until I play Ico. So I started playing Ico, and I'm actually really enjoying the game. I think it's fun and kind of interesting, and it's just, I'm actually impressed with how the game looks in the storytelling, knowing that it was a PS2 game, and an early on PS2 game at that, and it just, really, I'm very intrigued by the story so far, and the you know, we always talk about the main character with that annoying sidekick or that other character that 9 times out of 10 in most games gets in the way. And then very recently they've, you know, had that sidekick character where they're making them useful, like in BioShock Infinity and in Last of Us, where they're there but they're not in the way. And I'm kind of finding that in Ico, that secondary character doesn't really seem to get in the way.
They did it first.
I was gonna say, yeah, I was kind of, that's what I was getting at. I was like, they kind of made it a secondary sidekick character that isn't obnoxious. And I mean, you got to grab her by the hand and lead her around a lot.
And you
of the
have
time.
To hold the trigger to hold her hand, which I think is cute and fun and visceral.
Yeah, and it adds a sense of awe to the game. And I don't, it's fun. I'm really enjoying it. It's one of those games that I'm just like, I'm very impressed with how well it plays and how well it feels as a PS3 HD upgrade compared to, you know, the old PS2 that it just, it seems to hold up, and it seems to just, it still seems relevant. Where some of those games that are like 5 or 6 years old, they just, they feel like they're 5 or 6 years old. Like, you know, Resident Evil 5, another game that I've recently started playing.
Hold on. Just one second. Okay. Like, Ico, to me, because I have it too, and I played it for a little bit, and I agree with what you said about how it still feels relevant with the HD remake. And I'm wondering if that's because a lot of indie stuff looks like Ico. Like, not looks like it's like a derivative of Ico, but the quality is not unlike something you would see from in Ico.
Yeah.
But I have a question, because you've been playing it, and maybe Joe, you can chime in here too, because you've played it at some point. Is it more like when I played it, I didn't play it enough to get into it, and that's my fault. But I'm wondering if the experience is more of a, because it felt like a journey or a flower type game, but with combat. Is that inaccurate? Like, is it, I mean, just, I'm talking about like just in terms of like mood, like your, the passiveness in which you can enjoy it or play it. Cause like when I sit down and play Flower, you know, you can kind of mellow out to it until you get to some of the later levels, and then you just get freaked out. But, or it makes you feel blah in the later levels of Flower, or Journey, you know, you're running around and exploring and stuff like that. And it's really pretty. I'm just wondering if Ico is that same kind of experience, but with a subtle combat mechanic, or if, you know, I'm just completely talking out my ass.
No, that producer of games, and God, what's the company called?
It's, I don't know the company. I know it. It's just Team Ico from Sony, I thought.
Okay, we'll take it. They did something with Ico and repeated it with Shadow of the Colossus that a lot of games haven't been able to do. But I think you're right that Flower and Journey have this energy. It's it becomes a very emotional experience, and it's not so much about the combat or the exploration or collecting things. You're invested in these characters in a strange way, because it's all very minimalist, and through that, there's still a connection built between all of these characters and the relationships to the environment, the surroundings, the other little tiny characters in the game. I mean, man, with very little dialogue, I think zero dialogue in English, Shadow of the Colossus, at the end of that game, I am crying like a baby. I am crying like I just finished watching Shawshank Redemption, and I don't even know this character's name. I mean, it's in the manual somewhere, but they create a mood that is unlike anything else that comes out. I hate using the word in the mainstream video game world. So I think with the limited tools of the PS2, they achieved something that climbs inside of my soul, and I really enjoy that. And that's why I'm heartbroken that I bought the PS3, or my wife, you guys talked my wife into buying the PS3 so I could play Last Guardian, and now it's probably not coming out until PS4, maybe. Breaks my heart.
They said they're working on it, so.
Maybe it'll be a cross-platform title.
Maybe. I wouldn't say, I don't know if Joe would agree with this, but the combat in the game, I mean, there's puzzles in the game. A lot of it is all puzzles, essentially. But it almost feels to me, even the combat portion feels like just another puzzle to me. And that's what I think is kind of interesting and brilliant about the game, that even when you're not, you know, essentially it feels like the combat is almost disguised as it's just another puzzle in a different room, just another format of the puzzle.
Well, those critters, those shadow critters scare the piss out of me. So I don't look forward to combat. I look forward to, oh my God, get rid of them. Oh, Jesus. Get it safe. And okay. So it's terrifying. That's one of the reasons I can't play these games that you guys are playing, because I get that way. And they're creepy. It's like the baby, the little shadow babies in Silent Hill when you're walking through the school. And then you see these shadows on the ground when you turn your back. Oh my God, no.
That's okay. I've beaten up aborted babies in Dante's Inferno. So
You've beaten up what?
Aborted babies in Dante's Inferno.
No, that happens?
Yeah. One of the enemies in Dante's Inferno are aborted babies, and instead of, they're running around in, like, you know, their loincloths or whatever, and instead of arms, they have, like, razor blades on their arms.
And Why didn't the press throw a fit about that and say, what's going
because
on?
Because they were too busy talking about Cleopatra's nipples.
Because
remember, if there's any nudity in anything, that's more important to cover than the violence in something.
Yeah, forget violence. It's all about the nudity. Because we have Crude. Our priori- Us Americans have our priorities so straight.
We here in the U.S. apologize. Well, us here on Off the Cuff apologize for the manner in which the U.S. represents itself.
Yep.
And our views may not run in the same circle as those of the rest of the United States.
That's fine.
I could use more nudity and less violence.
Definitely. Definitely. Wait, that makes me sound like a hornball.
You are a man. It's,
yeah,
I think by definition you are a hornball.
I only ogle women when they're on TV. I don't do it in public. That's wrong.
As much as my wife ogles and drools over Chris Hemsworth and some of those guys.
Stunning specimen of man, though.
I know, he's gorgeous, but I don't feel guilty looking at ladies every once in a while. Okay, kind of often.
So now that devolved to that.
You complimented me on my code of ethics.
Yeah, on your code of ethics.
Let's all talk about our porn collection. What do you have in your stash?
Okay, so anyways, the other game I've been playing is I started playing Resident Evil 5. Which I just have to say to any Resident Evil fans out there.
What's wrong with you?
Plug your ears now.
No, let them have the dinner.
Oh my God. Why is it that? How long has it been since the first Resident Evil came out? It's been like, what, 15, 20 years now?
No.
25 years?
No. First one was with the PlayStation, so it's only been, maybe it's almost been 20 years.
Okay.
Almost.
So why is it that 20 years down the road, the fifth one in the series still controls and feels exactly like the first one in the series? What the hell? Aren't you guys going to learn to innovate and change things so they're more fun and don't feel like you're just controlling some clunky ass 20-year-old piece of crap?
You know that you're talking about a Japanese development house.
I know. But still, seriously, what's wrong with those people?
Are you?
They know how to semi end the character design. Holy crap. Capcom. Come on. Round those edges, boys and girls. Nothing needs to be all squared up all the time. God. Everybody else is doing it.
Art is how I feel navigating the Sony dashboard. Ugh. I feel exactly the same way.
One is a game and one is a UI. How on earth does one compare to the other?
Design philosophies.
Joe? That was my answer, was Joe.
I could write an essay.
I have nothing. I like the XMB bar. And I'm glad it's not gone from the PlayStation 4. So
I just, oh man, I hate the fact that you have to stop and hit a different button in order to melee. I hate the fact that you have to stop and aim and shoot. The fact that you can't free shoot in that game is just dumb.
No, hang on a second. Well, let's back up here. These are known issues with the Resident Evil series. These are headline topic issues with the Resident Evil series, yet you still bought it. And none of these issues are present in games like Dead Space. Are you going to play Dead Space?
Actually, next week on, hey, PlayStation Plus people, next week, Dead Space is actually $6 on PSN, and I'm actually planning on picking up Dead Space.
I own it. I can just let you borrow it.
I know, but it's all the way over there, and it's going to be downloaded in my living room. Dead Space 2 is going to be $7, and I think Dead Space 3 is 20.
I might have to buy those and not play them.
Well, I think I might buy 1 and 2. I'm not going to buy 3, though. Just because 20 bucks is still too much for me to spend on something I haven't really... I haven't experienced. Six and $7 is kind of, you know, at the cusp of I'm willing to try something new. But it and
who's
I
messing
it,
with stuff.
Joe's
sorry.
Joe's messing it around in his pants.
That's a lot of change or something. A lot of parts in there.
That's a paper bag that's behind me away from the microphone, but I'm sorry about that.
It hears everything. It is the thermal detonator.
And I think the only reason that I'm really playing Resident Evil 5, and also the only reason I even bought it, number one, I found it on clearance for $5 at Target. So it was very little commitment on my part. And I was hoping that maybe, because I played the demo like when it came out, and the demo felt clunky and terrible to me.
Yeah, the demo was 2009. That was actually one of the first demos we ever talked about in the lunchroom.
Yeah, and it felt clunky and terrible then. And the beautiful part is when I was playing it, I got to the part where the demo is. And it was like, feels a little bit better in the game, but still doesn't feel great. And my partner keeps getting in my way. What a bitch.
Is this the Resident Evil where the people complained because she was kind of white, but then they made her black? Or
she was kind of white, and then they considered it being racist because of the fact that you're killing black people in it. So to offset that, they made her black.
Great.
Because having a black partner completely off-puts the racism.
Okay, here's the thing. I understand how people can...
Furthermore, there's no racism in the game. It just happens to take place in an African,
right? And that's
city, and that's just because of location. It would not make sense to really have white people there.
But nobody, that's what I'm saying. Like, why is it? Why does a location for something all of a sudden make it racist? I mean, I guess, well, I can see how some people would be offended by it, but also it's just that's I don't know.
Maybe I don't understand. If they think that game's racist, why don't you think Resident Evil 4 is racist? Because it just paints Eastern Europeans in a terrible light. I mean, the only thing that would
essence is perfect.
Well, I was gonna say the only thing that would have been more racist if they were, you know, all running around in Adidas jumpsuits, because that's all Eastern European people wear. Okay. No, those are Russian. Well, would Russians be considered Eastern European?
No, they're considered Russians. Why is this even a question?
You rushed into that a little quick. Get it? Because moving on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Comedy hour here on Off the Cuff.
Hey, yo.
Where was the blonde Russian? Oh, she wasn't Russian. The Planeteer. Linka, where was she from? It wasn't Russia.
Scandinavia?
She was Eastern European, but I don't know from where.
Czechoslovakia. Yeah, she was Czech, I think.
All right, awesome.
Maybe. I don't know. Someone correct us.
Wow, why did we even get into Captain Planet and the Planeteer?
Because this is called
Off
the Cuff.
Because she was Russian.
This is called
not Russian.
Because this
Captain
is Off the Cuff.
Captain Planet,
No. No.
No? Oh, sorry.
Can we get sued for that?
No. Do you want to get sued for that?
I don't think it was on key enough to be us getting sued for it. So
actually, I think I've looked into stuff like using different music and stuff, and I could be wrong, and someone can correct me in the comments if they really wanted to. I think there's like a fair use thing where if you're not profiting off of it, you can use like 30 seconds of anything as long as you're not making a profit off of it.
Sweet.
So
I was going to say, somebody who had to matter or, you know, be involved with copyright law would actually have to be listening to the podcast and then report us also.
That's true.
That is true. So if any of you are listening that participate in copyright law, Shut your ears off.
No, we're not going to sing more Captain Planet. Stop.
Oh.
No.
Come on.
No, we're really living up to the name of this show now.
You named it.
I did. Yeah. I didn't name it. Christian Spicer named it.
So, I think that's pretty much. Oh.
You're good? Oh.
No, I actually played another. What was it called? It's Machinim? Or Machinim? It's a Vita game?
I don't know.
Is that an indie game, little robot, point and click?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, play the demo or something on PS3.
Yeah, that game's hard. It's kind of a bitch to play.
It's kind of one of those stick the hamster in the microwave and it unlocks the door sort of makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Point and click games.
Yep. I played it for about 30 minutes and I'm probably never going to go back to it again.
Endorsement. Put that on the box art.
They should. Well, it's, hey, this is what happens when you make games free and say, here, this is free. Go ahead and try it out and play it. And then I played it. And I was like, ugh.
It's the downside of demos. That's one of the reasons we don't see more of them.
Yeah. And I am a little excited, though, because Hotline Miami is free this week. I totally downloaded that, and I'm going to play that on the Vita later tonight.
Vita or PS3? Can I get it for PS3?
It's both, I think.
It's both. It's cross-buy.
All right. I think I can.
So if you got PlayStation Plus, you can log on and get Hotline Miami for free.
I should do that. All right. Danner's talked enough. Joe, what have you been playing?
I have been putting awesome things into my 3DS, waiting for
your penis
between worlds to drop. And I have been playing Super Mario 3D Land. Found it for a deal. Went online and I found it at the store. Guy wanted $25 for it in this neat little hole in the wall video game store in Ohio. And I went home, looked it up, and you know, it's at that $30 range, $35 range at GameStop because they charge too much. But it's one of the highest rated games, and all right, that sounds, I'll go back there. And I decided, hey, $20 because it doesn't have a case. And he's like, okay. So bam, got it. $20. I like that. Played it. Enjoyed it. It's missing something that Mario 64 had and Mario Sunshine had, that these side scrolling water backpack. No, it's missing something else. It's missing something that the multiplayer Mario New Super Mario Brothers pieces of garbage have had. Yeah, those were fun side scrollers, but it's missing some kind of weird Mario spirit. Like, I don't feel like
it's Mario without the soul.
Yeah, I don't feel like I'm playing Mario in the Mushroom Kingdom. It's like I'm going through a series of platforming challenges. Mario 64, it felt like you were at Princess's Castle jumping into the and exploring and learning about things. And Mario Sunshine, you're at this resort and you're going to resort places when you go to these different levels. I thought I like that kind of world feeling, and it's missing. And even Mario Brothers 3 had it, because you're on those overworld maps and you could kind of look down and see the world that you're at. So that's something that I think is missing from the Mario. I don't feel like I'm part of it. It'd be like a level-based Legend of Zelda. It just doesn't feel like Zelda. This doesn't feel like Mario all the way. Wonderful platforming. Enjoyed that. And beat it, two nights ago, and was ecstatic. I don't think I'm spoiling anything. Ecstatic to learn that it was only half the game. You beat Bowser. I had a satisfying $20 experience to find out that there's 8 worlds of special levels, of super challenging things. You unlock Luigi. You have to go rescue him in special world 1. And then you can play as Luigi through the game. And so all of that, I'm just having a ball. And then it unlocks things with the street pass. So I'm taking my 3DS to school and like my students, little me's are showing up and we're talking back and forth. Are you having fun in art class? Yeah, Mr. Reed. Yeah, it's cute. All right, cool. All right, kid. And now, either way, all these levels are unlocking on Mario because of that too. And I think that's, I'm just having a good experience with it.
Are any of your kids sending you penises?
No, I can't do that. Unless they were to get really creative with the me generator and decide to load that up. But if that happened, I would be down in the principal's office right away. Look what this kid did. And then he'd say, why do you have your Mii? Or why do you have your 3DS here at school? Why, you're a grown man. Why do you have that? Well, because I'm a cool adult. Bite me. This is what's happening.
I don't think you can call yourself a cool adult. I think someone has to call you a cool adult.
I think they that makes you a hipster automatically the moment you do that, Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think my principal would think I'm a hipster. But the students think it's cool. Like, hey, man, Mr. Reed has a 3DS. Like, all right, if it buys me some kind of street cred, I'll take it. I don't care.
Are you really going? Are you a teacher going for street cred?
No, but street cred helps. They're more likely to, you know, put down the gun when they come to school ready to go.
They're more likely to go, Mr. Reed, I'm not going to shoot you, but I'm going to shoot everybody else.
Yeah, if you give, but well, yeah, it's not fun to joke about, but that. You know, building those relationships is kind of important when you're in the ghetto, you know, that I
wait a second. Mr. Reed's got a 3DS. He's cool. I'll shoot other people.
And then I'll rob his 3DS. No, no. But I'm thinking like
shoot him and take his 3DS.
The guys who stole Mr. Rogers' car back in the 80s and they found out it was Mr. Rogers' car and they returned it with an apology.
You're not going to be that guy. You're not going to be Mr. Rogers.
I don't know. Instead of nice sweaters, Joe does have his Hawaiian shirt, so he does have his niche.
And when I come home, I take the plain shirt off and I put the Hawaiian shirt on and change into my slippers. Well, hello. I'm home. I'm going to go talk to my neighbors.
I miss the crotch shots playing Grand Theft Auto Online with you.
We can do that again anytime you want.
I have to find the time. Yeah, no, so I don't know. I didn't go for Mario 3D Land when I got my 3DS. I went for Luigi's Mansion because I liked the idea of like the story, and I always never really played Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, but I like the idea of it, and it plays really well on the 3DS. So
I think I'm going to enjoy it when I can find it for either borrow it from you and give you Star Fox, or if I can find it for 25 or less, I'll buy it. Well, that's my psychological limit.
I can mail it to you.
Well, wait till I can mail something back to you. I don't want to deprive you of a game.
Yeah, but I don't want to hoard games when I don't have time to play them.
Okay.
So
I'll ship you Star Fox after I'm done beating it. Plus, it's harder on the 3DS.
Plus, my wife is busy playing Pokemon X, I think, on the 3DS. So
I feel like the squarest person on the world. I took this 3DS to the mall the other day and got like 9 Street Pass hits, and everybody's playing Pokemon X and Y, and the DS is telling me, you know, I can take you to the Nintendo store and you can buy that game that 6 of those people were playing, and I feel like a total square person not playing it. I mean, but I really don't like Pokemon.
See, then don't play it. Don't feel pressure to do something you don't want to do.
Don't let Nintendo pressure you.
I've been pressured my entire life to try Pokemon, and I just say no. When people put Pokemon in my face, I tell them no.
You know,
I'm gonna put my all Pokemon you gotta in your do. Face.
Interesting thing about Pokemon, I have one of the original Japanese cartridges of Pokemon.
That's awesome.
Somewhere.
If I like Pokemon, that would mean something to me.
And I know I do because I didn't know what it was at first. It was just at my grandma's house. My uncle used to live in Japan, and I guess on one of the trips back, he brought some of the stuff that the kids were playing over there. I saw a mini disc player before they were ever here. It like blew my mind. He had one. He brought that game, and of course we threw it in our Game Boys, and it played. A Japanese game actually played an American Game Boy, but it was all in Japanese, obviously, so I didn't know what I was doing. But later that summer, not knowing what the game was, I got a Nintendo Power, and that's when Pokemon like was like infesting huge. Everything. And I was like, wait, I've seen this game before. I know what this is. Man, I wish I could find it. If I could find it, I'd probably donate it to you, Joe.
That would be wonderful. I'd donate it to the Mike Powers wing of my museum.
I don't even think I have anything in there. You should have kept my HD DVD drive to put in there.
I kind of have one of those, but I mean, I'll take more than one just to, you know.
I could give you mine since it's broken.
Mine works.
Mine doesn't. Mine worked for 3 weeks.
All right. Joe, you got anything else you want to talk about?
I wish I had time to play Grand Theft Auto 5 because I'm almost through the story mode.
I'm 5% through the story mode.
You're missing out on interesting missions. If even if you don't care for the story, some of the missions are well designed and fun, especially the heists.
That's what I hear, though, but I feel like I can get that stuff out of the online stuff. Plus, I just have fun hanging out in the online stuff with you.
I'm waiting for the online to have missions that are as good as the heists. And that's one of the things that I'm disappointed with after having had Grand Theft Auto 5 for as long as I have now and playing it as much as I have, that they built that game around those multiplayer heist missions. And I think I'm near the end of the story mode, and there have been three that I can immediately recall that were the big heist prepare for it missions. I'm really disappointed to see that. I thought we were going to have a real good experience about robbing all the banks, the casinos, the big elaborate things. And
maybe that's in Grand Theft Auto Online.
I hope so. Good, because it certainly doesn't feel like that, and I don't have time to put into that game and get to level 70 like some of these people are already. I still have a hard time breaking the $25,000 mark. I don't know how I'm supposed to buy a house or a garage anywhere.
That's easy with the stimulus package.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cheat. So when's that drop?
I have no idea. Do we know yet? Yeah.
I forgot.
Chauncey's not here to tell us about this stuff.
I'll go look it up.
Because he's boring and keeps in tabs on that shit.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the video game releases for next week, and we will cover some listener feedback.
The Pullbag is GCRN's comic book review and discussion-based podcast. Join your host, TFG1 Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we make our way through the comics we are reading. Inside the Pullbag, you'll also find back-issue classic episodes and origins of how we got into comic reading. You can find The Pullbag on iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Make your great escape into comics and jump into The Pullbag today.
And we're back. For anyone just joining us, I don't know why you'd be just joining us. I don't know how you just jump 40 minutes into a podcast and start from nothing. We've got some video game releases. We're going to do October 25th and October 29th. The big one this Friday, actually comes up the day after this episode airs, is Batman Arkham Origins, which I have actually just gone out and pre-ordered. I pre-ordered it on Sunday because Allie and I were at Best Buy and they had it's not $20 anymore, it's $10 now. But they had Arkham Origins was $10 back when you pre-order and pick it up. We also snagged Assassin's Creed 4 on the PS4, and I pre-ordered my copy of Call of Duty from them too. Mainly because Allie and I are doing digital copies for the first wave of PlayStation 4 games, because I'm not expecting, as we've said before, not expecting PlayStation Network to work on day one. And I would actually like to be able to play games. Not only that, we're going to have a PlayStation 4 in the house from like midnight on Thursday until like when my PlayStation 4 shows up later in the afternoon that Friday. And I'd like to actually be able to play games on it and not have to wait for Amazon to show up at my door. So, and I thought that, I mean, I want to see for myself if Arkham Origins is going to be as bad as I think it is.
I've heard some early reviews leaked that I read the other day, today. So,
I haven't read anything yet, but like I said, I haven't been able to look at it. Like every time I sign into Twitter now, it's like, you have 200 tweets to read. And I'm like, I can't fucking read all those. Sorry. Like I can't read all those. And I just end up skimming past them looking for like bits and pieces here of something that might interest me. So I haven't been able to like follow everybody.
I think it's pretty much exactly what you're going to expect it to be. They said it's pretty much exactly the same as Arkham City.
And that makes me sad.
And they said it's pretty much more of the same, and the story isn't quite as, there isn't that, you know, kind of semi-surprising moment that happens in the story.
This whole game seems to have dropped awfully quick to me. Is anybody smelling DLC that wasn't DLC but made into a game?
No, because this is a whole different, It's Warner Brothers Montreal. And okay. It's not Rocksteady doing it. And they're putting money into it, and they really want it to be, they don't want the franchise to die off. So, I mean, I think it's going to be solid, but I don't think it's not going to be innovative. It's not going to be anything new. It's going to be the same, pretty much the exact same thing you got in Arkham City. But it just doesn't sound like the story's quite as solid. They said it's about 10 hours long because most of the people, they got through the game already, so they got through it in a day. And I just want to point out to those people, how the hell do you just sit for 10 hours and just knock something out in a day?
I did it with Portal 2.
Yeah, well, I was speaking to, you know, as a person who has a life.
Oh. I want to play Arkham Origins before I just start bad-mouthing it without having ever played it. And I'm not trying, maybe talking down about it a little bit like I have been will kind of keep the bar kind of low for my expectations for the game. But my fear with Origins is that it'll just, especially if it sells really well, my fear is that it'll just be like this thing where, no, anybody can make these games. And clearly that is not the case. Because there wasn't a good Batman game until Rocksteady got a hold of it.
Correct.
And that's my fear, is that they'll just be like, oh, look, we can just keep pumping these games out. That's always been my fear. And then, of course, you know, you pile on and you end up with a different voice actor for Batman. It's not Kevin Conroy anymore for some stupid reason.
It's going to turn into Call of Duty.
What's wrong with Call of Duty?
Okay, it's gonna turn into what? I don't know.
No, he has. I was actually hesitant to say it was gonna become like a. They're gonna flip back and forth between, you know, Rocksteady doing one and Warner Brothers Montreal doing one, and they're gonna try and annualize it. But Rocksteady is working on some Justice League game, and that's why Warner Brothers went ahead and gave this to their other studio to make. So hopefully the game we all will want will be the Rocksteady game. That's the Justice League game.
Hopefully it's multiplayer. Should be with a property like that.
Maybe. But, you know, Lego Marvel Superheroes wasn't. Also on Friday, Arkham Origins Blackgate is hitting the 3DS and the Vita.
Ooh. I'm almost more interested in Blackgate than I am in Origins.
Yeah, but
because
you love playing on your Vita.
I do like playing on my Vita, but also I'm really intrigued by the team, because the team that's making Blackgate is it's all ex-Retro employees.
Yeah, that's right. That's why it was.
Ooh.
That's why it was interesting to me.
And it's a Metroidvania style game. And
I was starting to daydream until you said that. Now I'm interested.
Yeah. So that's why I'm intrigued in the game. I guess what most of the footage that has come out has all been from the introductory level. And I guess the introductory level, very, very narrow. And then once you get out of the intro level, the whole thing opens up into like that big Symphony of the Night style hugeness that Symphony of the Night had, and I guess that's kind of like the style of game it is it's you backtrack through the prison. It's literally a side-scrolling version of pretty much Arkham, the first game.
I think
where you gotta backtrack and go through old areas to find your way and do the puzzles and stuff like that, and it just sounds really cool.
I think what I'll do is throw it on my Black Friday list.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do also with that one.
Origins I'll pick up on Friday. And the other reason I want to pick up Origins is because it's going to be 3 weeks until the PlayStation 4 hits. 3 weeks, people. 3 weeks. And I just think for some reason that will be like kind of a fitting swan song for the generation, because everything after Origins is getting a PS4 release. And I really do expect to see Arkham Origins on the next gen stuff. Before next year.
Well, especially since they just announced the Injustice Gold Edition is going to be on PS4. That if I mean, if Injustice is going to get an APS4 release, it would seem silly to not get an Arkham Origins release.
And I also, just throwing this out there too, just in case it happens to pan out and then I can feel like a prophet, but I do expect Tomb Raider to get a next-gen release as well. Try and squeak a little more money out of that game before the second one comes out. Because it did get a PC release, so everyone can get the Tress effects and see Lara Croft's really good looking hair.
Seriously?
Yeah, no, I'm serious. That's what it's called. It's an AMD physics engine for hair. It's called Tress effects. Tresemme, ooh la la.
See, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yep, I'm sure that's what they were thinking too. October 29th, the following Tuesday, sees Battlefield 4, WWE 2K14.
Yeah, has anybody, okay, probably neither of you guys, has anybody else, you know, viewers, I who can't respond to me, seen the trailers for this thing? Because the trailers, I'm sorry, the graphics look like dog shit for that game.
Wait, and
I
Battlefield don't, or?
No, for, WWE? No, Battlefield 4 looks gorgeous.
Okay, good. I was like, wait a minute, whoa, no. What are you talking about?
No, the 2K14 WWE game, and I picked up 13, which I've barely played, but it's a pretty looking game, but the new one just doesn't, I don't know, graphically, ugh. If that was a next gen title, I'd be upset, but thankfully it's not. So hopefully I'll get a decent wrestling game for the next gen system next year. But it just doesn't look nearly as good as the, I don't know if it has something to do with them being a 2K now and not at THQ anymore. And I don't know. I'm a little iffy on that. And I've probably spent way more time talking about that than either of you care to. So, yeah.
So, has anybody, is the Battlefield 4 open beta, is that on both PS3 and 360 or just 360?
It's on both.
I am tempted to download the beta just to, so we can have something to actually talk about on next week's episode. If
I've meant to, but I
either
just,
of you would be willing to do that.
I'm too lazy. I could do it. I got to probably clear off hard drive space in order to do it.
Hey, but you can delete all the games of mine you can no longer play.
I've already done that and still don't even have enough to, you know, download a 12 gig game.
Wow. The other big game release next week is Assassin's Creed 4. It's finally here, everybody. You know another calendar.
Pirates!
This is how you know another calendar year has gone by.
So, also, read an article, a review that was leaked for that one, too, which, very interesting things. They say it is the most complete Assassin's Creed game since the Ezio trilogy. It is the most complete single Assassin's game to date. They said it doesn't feel quite as good as the three Ezio games together, but it's pretty darn close. And they said it's a lot tighter game than Assassin's 3 is.
Well, that wouldn't be hard considering that one was a sloppy bitch.
Yeah. But the things that I'm hearing are very, very promising. I think they said the cities and the tombs that you come across in the Caribbean islands are just so varied and way more vertical than everything in Assassin's 3.
Well, so, that's not hard considering Assassin's Creed was in Boston.
Yes. So it sounds like it's going to scratch that itch that Assassin's 3 didn't. And then it's going to also deliver a pirate experience second to none, which I know a lot of people, Sean, are mostly, you know, very interested in it for the pirating experience.
I'm interested in it, too, although I'm questioning what other pirate experience are they comparing it to? Are they comparing it to Quest for Booty? Because I don't know if you can beat that game.
Nah.
Or Age of Booty. Is it Age of Booty?
What's it's the pirate? Age of Booty.
Yeah. I don't know if you can compare it to that game.
Well, Sid Meier's Pirates.
I still don't know why they haven't taken that game to Asia, you know, where ninjas are who are already assassins. I don't care about pirates, but maybe I'll play this eventually while you all are playing your PS4 and the game's $15 because it's cheap and everybody traded it in.
Well, you could probably pick it up for cheap on
Black Friday. It'll be like $25.
By the way, GameStop Black Friday ad already leaked, and Battlefield 4 is going to be $30. Keep that in mind, people.
Yeah, everyone. And was it Modern Ghost is going to be $50?
And if you think about it, you could buy the PS3 version of Battlefield 4 for $30 and then spend the $10 and upgrade it to the PS4 version. So it's like getting the PS4 version for $20 off.
And you get a digital copy, so you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. Wow, I just hated everything that I just sounded like there.
So stop talking already. All right.
I don't know how to.
We're going to move on to some listener feedback. We've got the question last week was, what game or action in a game has made you feel like a horrible human being?
I'm excited.
Let's see. First, let's get this out of the way real quick. Plato's Lament said that he loves the Lego games, and not having an online co-op was never a thing for him. So he's still going to pick it up.
He must not have friends. I'm sorry. That was terribly mean.
He probably has Joe. Friends that actually
he probably
come
has
over
real
to his house.
Friends.
Yeah.
Is what I really meant to say. He probably has real friends.
Well, that's why. That's where I responded to him with the fact that, you know, we were looking to online co-op because we don't live next to each other and we can't come over to each other's houses. And then I asked him if he played it split screen for the local co-op so you could see the split screen mechanic. But I didn't get an answer back from him, so maybe he can follow up with us.
Yeah, I apologize. I like you. I didn't mean that.
what a dick move, Joe.
I know, right?
People are finally paying attention to us, and you're just going to scare them all away.
Yeah, I know, right?
Okay.
Dick move, a Joe Reed story.
Let's see. Born Standing Up says, not sure what game it was, but the Modern Warfare game where you mowed down all those people at the shopping mall, that was one time I literally walked away from my television. I just didn't see the point to it besides trying to be edgy.
Shopping mall? I thought it was the airport.
It was Modern Warfare 2, and it was the opening level in the airport, which I told I advised him that entire thing was made skippable, so you didn't have to do it, which made it even more unnecessary. On top of that, you didn't have to fire a single shot if you didn't want to. Again, making it more unnecessary for that level to be there. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
Is it sad that I kind of actually enjoyed that level?
Did you mow people down?
Oh, I fucking killed everybody that was in my path.
Okay. Super Film Fan follows up with, yes, that's where I completely... That's where I pretty much checked out a Modern Warfare single player campaign. It screamed, quote, we are trying to be edgy. And of course, I responded to him with the fact that I have never played a Call of Duty single player campaign, although I do own, you know, Modern Warfare 1, 2 and 3 and have pre-ordered Ghosts. And I said that I wish they would just add a paintball setting to multiplayer matches. Paintball mode. Come on.
In my defense of just looking like a complete sick bastard there, the first time I played that game through, I didn't shoot anybody, except for the cops. The second time through, I mowed over everybody because I knew no matter what, it wasn't going to make any difference on the impact of the level. And that's right, I played the game through twice.
Okay.
Because I 100%ed that game.
So,
you know, honestly, there's not much a difference between mowing people down in that airport, pretending to be a terrorist, than there is taking the car in Grand Theft Auto and deciding to go down the sidewalk, nailing as many people as you can. There's really not much difference.
I think
we threw a fit about mowing people down in the street 20 years ago when Grand Theft Auto first came out, or not 20 years ago, but. Or Carmageddon, that one. Okay.
Well,
whatever.
I think it's slightly different. I think the outrage or the controversy around that scene, and I don't believe this happens in Grand Theft Auto because I've gotten my ass kicked more than once by a civilian in that game.
Me too.
I feel like in that scene in Modern Warfare, in that opening, everyone that you are shooting at is defenseless. They will not try to attack you. You are so overpowering in that scene until the cops show up. And I think that that's where it is that they're so overpowering. Whereas and the cops don't show up, like everything in that game is a trigger, and the cops don't show up until you get outside the airport after you've already mowed down most of the people. That's when they show up. It's not like if you wait inside the airport, the cops are going to come sooner. And whereas in like a game like Grand Theft Auto, where you drive down the street and you hit a lamppost, someone's might come up. If you can't pull away fast enough, someone's going to come up and try and pull you out of the car and beat the crap out of you. Or you're going to run over so many people that you're going to end up with 3 stars and the cops are going to come after you.
Yeah.
I think there's just a different, and we even noticed this when we were playing Grand Theft Auto at over at our friend Andy's house when Danner and I first saw GTA 5, which I don't know if Danner agrees with me, but I thought that the police were cranked up to 11 in this game, even like at one star. Yeah. Like,
I agree.
Over like past Grand Theft Auto games where it's almost they're punishing you almost. It's almost to the point where they're punishing you for going crazy.
For playing Grand Theft Auto.
Well, there's playing Grand Theft Auto the way that it used to be played, and then there's playing Grand Theft Auto the way that they think it should be played now. You know what I'm saying? There was that split where the Grand Theft Auto we all know and love became Saints Row, and then they took Grand Theft Auto and made it into something completely different. And now I think they just punish you for wanting to play the game that you want to play. Connor,
I don't have a problem with that because I like the new game.
No, I like the new game too. I'm just saying that I feel like that's the difference between mowing people down in a parking lot or mowing people down in a linear structured game versus driving over a bunch of pedestrians that can defend themselves if need be.
Yeah, and I agree with you entirely. I just threw that out there as a talking point, and it worked out, I think.
So, Connor Murphy. This brings the Modern Warfare stuff to a closure. Connor Murphy says that moment you speak of was one of the lowest moments in video game history for me, though I thought it was an airport. It was senseless, did nothing for the story, and just gave video game haters ammunition to talk about how violent video games are. I agree with it gave them ammunition, but I don't really think they need ammunition. All they need is someone to shoot up some building somewhere and they'll have enough ammunition to talk about how bad video games are. And then on a lighter note, Connor Murphy replies again and says, sometimes those social games like Words with Friends make me feel like a bad person because I feel the need to do my turn in the right amount of time. I feel bad if I forget and the other person is left waiting. So that was a nice little liven things up there. Super Film Fan 98 says, trying to think if a game ever made me feel like a bad person. Don't think it's for the same reason you are saying, but World of Warcraft made me feel like a bad person due to the time I spent playing it. You get sucked in so deep, you begin to ignore the real people around you. I think that's just a bad effect a game has had on you. I think we're just talking about how making you feel bad, not a game ruining your life. And I'm not saying that to him because that tends to happen with like I know like a good number of people that have fallen into the World of Warcraft hole and it became like a thing that they had to do. I don't think you missed what we were talking about, but that is something we could possibly talk about on a future episode. Don't know if any game, King of Kong says, don't know if any game has ever made me feel like a bad person. If anything, it makes me feel like a good person knowing I can separate video games from reality.
Ah, I like that answer.
Yeah, but you can't deny that. And some people bring this up later. You can't deny that The Walking Dead didn't make you feel like crap, even though you knew it wasn't.
I'm still afraid to play that. Somebody yelled at me for not playing it.
Why is it? Was it you, Mike, that were over when I did the last chapter of that game, or was it you, Joe, that was over?
I haven't seen past. I'm in the middle of episode 2.
Okay, then Mike, were you here when I finished chapter 5?
No, I was not there.
Maybe it was Andy. because I was playing the game, and it got to the end, and I don't really want to. Joe, are you ever going to finish the game?
Yes.
I don't want to spoil this. Walking Dead is too good to spoil, no matter how much time.
There is a decision at the end of the game, and I didn't think it was a big deal, and both my wife and whoever was there with me when we were playing the game was like, how could you make that decision? And I just looked at them like, I had no idea, like, that it was a bad decision. And they both kind of looked down on me, and I was like, I guess that was kind of a shitty thing to do, but I thought it, from the way I was playing the game, I thought it was fine.
Now I'm curious as to which one you made, because that scene even made me. I was like, oh my, I don't know which one to do. And I'm not even like a dad. So
we could discuss about this in private later.
Okay.
But it's one of those things that I don't know. Games don't make me feel bad.
But okay. Brad Kellogg says, the easy go-to would be Grand Theft Auto. I would say what makes me feel bad about myself playing Grand Theft Auto is how much I don't feel bad about myself playing. It's like I have accepted killing random people on the street with a bazooka as the norm.
Awful.
See our earlier comments.
Fantastic.
Part of that, I goes back to one of the earlier comments where I'm able to separate reality from fiction, and the moments that really make me feel bad are when I forget for a moment that it's just fiction, and it becomes a real person doing this to another person. You just kind of go there for a second and you go, oh, this game really is dirty and horrible.
Yeah, I agree with what he's saying about Grand Theft Auto. Like, I do every once in a while. I mean, come on, Joe, you and I go around robbing convenience stores. I'm never going to rob a convenience store. Not much, much less rob a convenience store while flying a helicopter.
I know.
I mean,
when are we ever going to get that opportunity?
I'm fine. Like, I totally get the whole thing about, you know, you separate games, but some games, like we were just talking about with The Walking Dead, at least for me, I got sucked in so deep into making those decisions. And the decisions in Walking Dead aren't black and white. Almost all of them are gray. Like, there is no right or wrong answer for anything. And it's almost like when you're in that moment, you're making those decisions, and it's you're making them. Yeah. And I kind of got lost in it. Yeah. Like, I knew that I was still sitting on my couch playing it and everything, but it's kind of like, I was kind of like trying to actually put myself in that situation. Like, what would I do if I was in this situation? Like,
and that's the one game that I noticed, no matter what decision you make, or no matter how good you feel about what you've done, they find a way to fucking smack you back down as quickly as possible and just be like, no, do not feel good about what you just did, because now this is happening.
Right.
And that's a beautiful thing about it's the epitome. Damned if you do, damned if you don't. That is in the entire game.
And that is great.
And it's fantastic.
Let's see. Jedi Disaster. I swear this said Diaster before, but now it says Jedi Disaster. Knights of the Old Republic would sometimes make me feel like a bad person, like one of my characters died, or if I was a little too easily swayed playing fighting for the dark side. I never played Knights of the Old Republic, so I can't speak to...
Oh, crap, that just made me think of something. There is a something in games that made me feel bad.
Oh.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Let's get through the feedback first.
SuperFilmFan98 chimes in again. He was actually the first person to respond. He chimed in, The Walking Dead game was one that made me feel like a bad person. You would get attached to some of these characters that losing them would have a massive emotional impact. A lot of those complex choices made the game an amazing experience, but it did make you question who you were as a person. And I said, and that is why The Walking Dead was off the cuffs game of the year for 2012. And then King of Kong wraps everything up with, yeah, that game didn't make me feel like a bad person, but it did make me an emotional wreck. So that is the listener feedback. So, Danner, what game made you feel like a bad person?
Mass Effect.
Can you talk about it without spoiling it?
Mass Effect 2. I worked very, very hard on developing a relationship with Tali throughout the game to the point where we became romantically involved. And I then, after spending all the game trying to get to know her and become romantically involved with her, I went down to the basement and slept with Jax. And I felt terrible about that. So that is the worst I've ever felt playing a game, is making love to a fictional character only to cheat on said fictional character.
That's
there you go. Incredible. That is the worst. That is, congratulations. That is the worst I have ever felt in a game.
I mean, plenty of games have made me feel afraid, but that's not, that's just me being afraid and, you know, a pansy.
Massive pansy.
I think, see, The Walking Dead is just overshadowing everything when it comes to this question for me about a game that's made me feel bad. I do think Grand Theft Auto might be one of those games for me that I kind of feel bad.
Hold on. Do you regret making any of the decisions that you've made in Walking Dead? Like, did you ever make the decision that you had to make because you felt you had to make it that way, but then the way that the story played out, and not in the way of like, ooh, I wish I could have seen the story that way, but in an emotional, oh, I made the wrong decision kind of way?
I played that game once, and I'm very proud of myself for playing through that game once, and I did try playing it again when I got it on the Vita, but I couldn't do it. I made it through the first episode. At the time when I was playing it, I felt like those choices all mattered. I'm trying to think of one choice that you make that actually carries through to the end of the game. Because once you start playing it and you've beaten it, you can see what choices actually mattered and which ones didn't. I think early on, like one of the biggest ones, I think, and I'm not entirely sure how it plays out or what kind of effect it has on certain things later, or how stuff branches out from there, is when you have to divvy up the food in The Walking Dead.
I've done that in episode 2 so far.
I think that's the only time that you do it, but for some reason that was just kind of, especially after the first episode, it's like the first thing you do when you get in the second episode is you divvy up the food. And I think 400 Days, the DLC for it, also did some interesting things with choice here and there. I don't know if I can really answer your question all that well, because it's like Danner said, it's like, even if you make the right, because there is no right or wrong choice in The Walking Dead, so the minute you make a choice and you move on to the next thing, something else is going wrong, and it's like, okay, what's the best of this situation? Like, you make the choice out of what you think is going to be the best way to get out of this, right or wrong, you're going to get out of it, but is it going to be the result that you want? Like, I don't know that I apologize. It's been a year, almost a year since I played it, so I can't really. I don't know. I just remember feeling. I just remember getting really wrapped up into it, wrapped up into it, and the choices I was making, I honestly felt like they mattered. And to a certain extent, if I played it long enough in one session, I felt like I was getting an idea of what it might be like if I was in that situation. Which is one of the reasons why I was so bummed when I waited a day to go from episode 4 to episode 5.
With that game, I had to do the episodes in one sitting and then to walk away. Just because I was like, I needed that break.
I think I did 3 and 4 in one sitting. And so I was like, I was in it. I was like invested in that. And I was going with it. And, you know, just that one day break broke it. I got it back like shortly after I started playing the 5th episode. But I don't know. Joe, what has a game ever made you feel like a bad person?
I think the worst I've felt in recent memory enough to cause me to ask this question.
Did you say stomping on a Koopa?
Listeners, no. However, I have been playing Mario Brothers with my son watching over my shoulder on the 3DS, and I'm not worried about him jumping on Koopas and like the violence, but I'm thinking about it because I remember back in the '80s, there were moms concerned about the violence of Mario jumping on the Koopas, and their children weren't allowed to come over to my house to play the game because they were concerned about the violence. And so I'm just sitting here giggling with my 2-year old jumping on Koopas.
What are you going to do? Go stomp on a turtle in the driveway?
I know, right? When are you ever going to get a chance to jump on anybody's head? Can you jump that high? If you can, that's a good problem to have. But where I've most recently felt the dirtiest is, of course, in Grand Theft Auto V, and it's because at every opportunity I have to first play Grand Theft Auto the game, one of the earliest things I do is I go find the hooker, I sleep with the hooker, and then I kill the hooker and get my money back. I don't know why it's something that I feel like I have to do, but I always feel awful doing it. It's one of those moments where I not really forget that they're a digital character, but where my mind goes there. And so,
revenge fantasy against hookers?
It's a terrible thing.
Do you hate women?
My mother was a hooker. I can't remember my childhood. No, not really.
I remember the first time I did it in Grand Theft Auto 5. I ended up pistol whipping you in the head and killing you and then running over the hooker.
That's right. We're out in the middle of the desert and she got out of the car finally.
Well, yeah, Joe spawned into my game. I had already gotten a hooker and took her out in the middle of the desert and I was doing my thing. And I spawned
like 20 feet away, so I go up and start looking.
He goes up and he's like looking in the car while stuff's going on. And then the girl gets out of the car and I'm like, okay, Joe, go kill her and get my money back. And he goes like chasing after her, but he can't catch her. And I get out of the car to go chase her. I end up pistol whipping Joe in the head and killing him. Yeah. And then I just run her over with my car. I would like
to note that you do not get all of your money back like you have in previous Grand Theft Auto games.
Grand Theft Auto,
spend it before you kill her?
I don't know. Or she's storing it somewhere and we can't find it.
I feel like
I check all of her pockets if I were you.
Grand Theft Auto, when Grand Theft Auto went serious with Grand Theft Auto 4, I didn't play San Andreas, so I don't know if it went serious with San Andreas or if it went serious with Grand Theft Auto 4. But I feel like when Grand Theft Auto went serious, it became a game more like, what can I do in this game that I can actually do in real life? Like, Joe, you were laughing at me when I actually pulled into a parking spot to go into the convenience store. Or like stopping at the stoplights or just driving with traffic and stuff like that. And of course, when Joe and I get together, then it's just, you know, sheer chaos and driving up mountains with Mustangs and crazy stuff. But when I'm playing by myself, it's like, I don't want to deal with the cops. I don't want to do something that's going to get the cops to like piss me off. So I'm like, you know, obeying the law and stuff like that until the game like makes me break the law or something like that. But I feel like that wasn't an issue when I was playing like Grand Theft Auto 3 or Vice City. And I think it's because they weren't as real and they also had more of a style to them. Than like 4 and 5 do. So and I do feel guilty running over pedestrians in GTA 5.
I feel bad when I do something unintentionally.
Yes. Yes. Because it's like,
man, and I'm okay doing it on purpose.
I would never do that.
Those little NPCs, they don't take apologies. Like, I got too close to this hot dog vendor on the movie lot, and I climbed inside the little food truck, and then I left. And when I left, I just apparently pissed them off, and they started boxing me. And I'm sorry, you don't box Michael in the face and not get a gun in your mouth. And so I pulled out the gun. And then that was all it took, you know, because they instigated the fight. But then the cops were on me and the guards of the movie lot. But so I had to kill everybody in the area. And I kind of, like, I wish there was an apologize button. Like, dude, I didn't mean to bump into you.
Like, whoa, just throwing your arms up in the air. Whoa.
This coming from the guy in Payday 2 that just started shooting tellers for no fair reason.
That was awesome. I totally need to be. I gotta see if that game is dirt cheap yet.
It's not. One of the things I heard about you could do in Grand Theft Auto 5, and I actually did it in my game, and it was kind of satisfying in its own way, because one of the things I do like about video games is that you, and I'm sure we'll revisit this once you finish your violence and video game stuff. I feel like you get to act out revenge fantasies to a certain point, and or you at least you get to do what you would want to do in real life. Like case in point, there's these little side quests, and I may have shared this story already, but there's these little side quests in Grand Theft Auto 5 where, you know, you see someone get their purse stolen. And you can chase down the guy that, you know, stole the purse, and you can take the purse from him. Or you can return the purse to the person that was mugged in the hopes that maybe they'll give you a reward. And I did that once because I was just driving around and I saw it happening. So I got out of my car and I chased the guy. Actually, I didn't get out of my car. The guy ended up running away and I just ended up running over the guy. Grabbed the purse, took it back to the lady, and I gave it back to her. And she was like, thanks. And she just turned around and started walking away. And I was like, oh, no, that's not how this is going to go. I'm sorry. And I whipped out my gun. I shot her in the back and I went and got her purse. And I was just like, I'm mad because you're being ungrateful. So, and sometimes when people are ungrateful, you know, you wish that you could either like slap them in the face or punch them in the face. Or maybe if you carry a gun, you wish you could shoot them in the face. But I don't carry a gun. So, all right. Danner, did you want to plug your 7th Gen Console Awards?
But of course, we're still taking votes on the 7th Gen Console Awards. We have a pretty good turnout so far, but would always like to see more before we release the results and do the episode. So keep voting. You can find all the information on the forums on www.geekcastradio.com. And yeah, happy voting.
Yep, you guys have 2 weeks to get your votes in. And as I've been saying to everybody on, actually, maybe only 1 week to get your vote in. You've got one week to get your vote in. And what I've actually been advising some people is you should, if you really want to, you know, do the swing votes, just come up with a new name and submit the same list. Pad the numbers.
Really?
Yep.
That's what you've been telling people?
Yep. It hasn't it hasn't been working, so don't worry about it. So, all right. Joe, anything you want to shout out to the listeners?
Not today.
All right, we do have a question, although I can't remember what it was. Danner, what was it? You forgot it too, didn't you?
You're going to make me remember.
Oh, I know what it was.
I remember what it was too.
Okay, go ahead.
The question is with Watch Dogs being delayed for polishing and getting the game ready, what games have you wished in the past that have been released? What games do you wish would have been pushed back and polished more before they were released?
Borderlands DLC.
I was going to say, and don't say Aliens Colonial Marines.
Duke Nukem.
Yeah, could that have been pushed back more?
All right, so this has been Off the Cuff, episode 33. I've been your host, Michael Powers. You can find myself on Twitter and the PlayStation Network at BoothNinja81. Danner?
You can find me on Twitter at ArtDanner or on the PlayStation Network at X51 The Machine Man.
Joe?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeReedGeek. Tweet me. I'm still learning how to do that. And Twitter's no fun without a smartphone, guys. I've learned that. I got to maybe someday invest in one of those, but not yet. And you can also find me on the PlayStation Network at Wildfire405, spelled with two capital Vs.
All right. And because we did this out of order and because we're old and tired and sloppy, if you would like to get in touch with us and comment and send in your listeners, send in your nominees, which the categories for the 7th Gen Console Award will be posted in the episode notes. And we just ask that you submit three for each one if you can. They are 7th Gen Console. That is the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the Wii. I've even gone so far as to throw the Wii U in there. Not that it really matters. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch with us and you want to submit that, you just want to say that we're wrong or that you hate us or whatever, You can head over to our parent site at geekcastradio.com and comment on the episode post, or you can send emails to us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can also find us on iTunes. And if you do listen to us on iTunes, why don't you head over there and leave us a nice little review? 5 stars, please, but 1 if you really have to. So, on that note, until next week, they call me Gato. I have metal joints. Beat me up and win 15 silver points.